Well, what about love? I can think of worse ways to measure my year. And here we are on January 20th, with less than 12 months to go until the year 2020. We have 525,600 minutes minus the 28,000 and change we've already been through in 2019. So we have that much time, 497,000, I believe, to talk about the love we can bring into the world this year. And so what about love? What would a year of questing and dreaming of broad and wild and generous love in the world be like? Let's talk about a 2020 vision. Now, I have to admit, the next line is something that I think Linda cut from what she an earlier draft of what she did, so it doesn't make as much sense, so I'm going to explain it. I don't think you talked about being a recovering counter, probably because she hasn't recovered, I'm guessing, but... I was going to talk about being a recovering deadline junkie, which is another way of saying I didn't used to be very good at planning, right? I would let the world come to me, you know? For much of my life, I was not big into planning. I'm still not a lover of planning, but I do better at it. I would just let events go and trust that, you know, the goodness of the world and my ability and probably a whole lot of white privilege in retrospect would carry me to good things. I didn't have a lot of five-year plans, so to speak. My closest to that would be college, which did take me 5 years, by the way. And though I got my degree, everything was fine. I couldn't have predicted half of the turns and twists along the way. And I was thinking about this last night as we watched the movie Rudy in my household, which is like 25 years old, so I don't mind ruining it for you. It's about a young man, Rudy, whose dream in his entire life is to go to Notre Dame and play football. And though that's quite a dream for anyone, I think, he was somebody from a family who had never had a member of his family go to college at all. And so the movie follows his chronicle, and I forgot how much of it is him getting to Notre Dame, much less actually getting on the football team and playing. That's actually just the last third or so of the movie. A big chunk of it is just about the process of getting there because he wasn't a great student. It turns out later he found out he had dyslexia. And so he has to go to junior college, to Holy Cross College, to get there. And he has a lot of just trying and striving and things just barely working out at the last second, which I looked up the real story and it's not dramatized too much, actually. There were a lot of things that if one thing hadn't gone right for him, he wouldn't have gone anywhere. And so I was thinking about that. I didn't have quite that eventful a college career. But I did think that he had a much stronger plan than I ever did, a much stronger vision. Now, there's some things that have helped me with this planning thing. Technology is amazing. Because I have never kept a paper calendar in my entire life. And I know that works for some of you, but it never worked for me. But these digital calendars that come up on my phone and I can add things instantly and it will ask if I want to repeat the event or if I want an alarm for it, this is so earth-shatteringly awesome. And I think we forget about that because it seems so ordinary now. You know, there's this, oh my God, why is my internet not working? The fact that I can carry around a supercomputer in my pocket all the time, I'm more mad about the fact that the Wi-Fi isn't working, right? Like, okay. I am thankful for these things that help me be a better planner and preparer because the demands of family and work now force me nearly always to my benefit to look ahead and plan ahead. I even give thanks to the Boy Scouts, who I've mentioned before. I was a Boy Scout for many years, and they taught me be prepared. So I'm still no planning wizard, but I now rarely get caught off guard by things. And that last-minute way of being I once had, I developed over the years, serves you really well if you've done some preparation ahead of time, too. It certainly did in journalism for me, my previous career. But the thing that's really helped me become a planner or a would-be planner is that this idea of vision, not literal vision as I talked about earlier, though my vision for the moment is still 2020, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm talking about this idea or dream of who I might be and who our world should be. I think if we don't have a good idea of who we want to be and what we want to be, we are unlikely to get there. And so the planning is about the process of getting there, how we're going to take steps towards it. But we need the vision first. We have to know what we want to be. And I realized in retrospect, not going forward, but in retrospect, that I always had something of a vision for who I wanted to be. Because I would get that question, especially in college, I remember it a lot of the time. That's a different thing. I get that question a lot now. Whenever you meet someone, you say, what do you do, right? And sometimes I wonder if I should say something, well, I sleep, and then I wake up. I usually have breakfast. I take the boys to school. I drive around for work or errand, which, of course, is not what anyone's asking me, right? They want to know, what do you do for a job? Because in our capitalism, consumer-driven identity, our society, your identity is so tied up in what you do or don't do for work, right? I would like to break that somehow. So the next time I ask you, you could tell me about something you've done, some hobby or something, if I ever make the mistake of asking you what you do. Though I want to know about your job, too. I'm not And having a job was certainly part of my vision. My parents were hard workers. They were at work, for a lot of my childhood. And that idea of what I wanted to do, to be, went from doctor to field biologist and then journalist and now minister. But more importantly than work, I had a really strong vision of who I wanted to be, and that was as a husband and father. And I feel so lucky every day, even when the kids are driving me crazy, that I got exactly what I wanted. And it's been plenty of twists and turns in that, and I expect more twists and turns along the way. But I got what I wanted. And weirdly, I always had this fairly specific answer when people asked me where I saw myself living in the future. Did you ever get this question as a young person? I love my hometown of Austin and Houston, where I went to college. But I always had this vision in my head that my future spouse, who I had not yet met at all yet, and I would sort of figure it out together and maybe move somewhere for her job. And when Kristen and I were a month away from our wedding, she got this job offer in Boston, halfway across the country, and we changed all our plans and shipped off to New England, and since we've moved a few times together, usually for work. So I don't think I could have planned any of that, and I won't pretend that I had a vision and I had a huge plan for how to get there and things just clicked into place. They didn't. It took a lot of turns and crazy things happening along the way. I don't think I could have planned it all, certainly not the way it happened, but I'm here and I'm happy, and I know that very few people in this world can probably say that, and they're the lucky ones. And so 2 weeks ago, as I was preaching here, I spoke about the new year and of letting go of things, maybe instead of resolving to do new things. Now, I think another way to avoid that trap of resolutions, unless you're one of those superhumans who makes a resolution and sticks to it, and if so, good for you. I have never been that person. But another way to avoid that resolution trap is to not make a resolution about what you will do, but to claim a vision of who you want to be. And so I think about that, 525,600 minutes, which seems like a whole lot of minutes. What can I achieve in a year? What could we achieve as individuals or as a congregation, as a world? Who could we be a year from now? Could we begin to be more loving and welcoming, more generous, less judgmental? Can our church be even more of a force for good in the world than it already is? And so it's appropriate, it seems to me, that tomorrow we honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. MLK famously claimed his vision. I have a dream, he said over and over again. A dream was a vision of society in a world that could be, that still can be, but was not yet and is not yet here today. And I know that his grand vision will take more than a year, more than 2020, more than 50 more years, perhaps, to come to life. The world around us today, with its border walls and rampant racism and babies in cages, is evidence that we are nowhere close to it yet. But I think we can get closer. And so in her speech to the Interfaith Vigil we mentioned earlier in Richmond, organized by our own Barbara Wiseman, thank you, Barbara, you're somewhere here. I was saying, Reverend Kristen clearly articulated part of that vision. I want to share it with you. Some of you were there yesterday and heard it. She said, we have the opportunity to rise above the machinations of princes and principalities and rise up together with one another. We have the opportunity to tune out the tweets and propaganda and tune in to one another. We have the opportunity to show that the only way to make our country great is to make education and housing, health insurance, and paid family leave great, and make sure everyone can access them. We have the opportunity to show that people of all faiths, colors, and native countries have important differences but the same basic wants and needs: peaceful streets, good homes, education, good jobs, medical care. We have the opportunity to show that a strong country is made up of strong, happy, healthy, diverse people. And we can take this opportunity to examine our own hearts for any prejudice they may harbor, and praying to be released from the very human yet very harmful grasp it holds on us. We can take this opportunity by calling out bigotry, bullying, and intolerance every time we see it. We have begun to take this opportunity here at the vigil to work together with our neighbors for a safer, more inclusive community for ourselves and one another. We can take this opportunity by showing up for ceasefire walks, by visiting one another in our homes and churches, temples, and gurdwaras. We can continue to do this by opening our hearts, minds, and hands to one another, giving thanks for beauty of human diversity among us, for the ways that the eternal and holy shine in with and among all of us gathered here. And so today in this church, my vision is that we could reach across our differences, delight in those around us, that we can build deeply intertwined multi-generational community that affects and changes everything we do, that we can pass a budget and commit to a path that will take us places we might not have planned on, but that are helping us fulfill our vision for our church and the world. And most importantly, our vision has us all together in the discussion and in the deciding and in the doing. And we can do this, and we can do this together. So whatever vision your eyes are capable of, I know your mind and soul can do so much more. So won't you enjoy a little 2020 vision with me? May it be so, friends.